33. When Gwen, Martin, and Ampix fell through the portal, emerging in a shower of shattered floor fragments thousands of feet in the air over the city of Atlantis, they were all surprised and angry. Ampix was surprised and angry at Nilo for trying to kill him. Gwen and Martin were surprised and angry at themselves for allowing someone to get the drop on them again. Of course, the last time they had been amongst 20 other wizards, and they had all been stripped of their powers. This time was not nearly as bad. Gwen was tied into the Atlantis interface and the Camelot shell. She was already flying toward Ampix with great speed. Unfortunately, Martin's staff had gotten hung up on the side of the portal as he fell through, and in his shock, he had let it slip from his fingers. Martin's eyes darted about, stinging in the wind as he reached terminal velocity.
"I'm okay," Martin thought. "Even if I don't get my staff, the fall won't kill me. It'll hurt like hell, especially if I hit one of those glass and diamond buildings in the city. Those don't look very soft. I could hit the water, but they say that's as bad as landing on concrete."
Martin quickly decided that Plan A was to get his staff and fly gently to the ground, and Plan B was to aim for a grassy area in the park at the center of town. He preferred Plan A. After a moment of panicked searching, he saw his staff tumbling end over end as it fell, a black speck suspended between the blue expanse of the sky and the darker blue expanse of the ocean. He straightened out and pointed his body toward his staff. Progress was slow at first, but he soon started gaining on it. Martin thought,
"Why haven't I ever made a macro that makes my staff fly into my hand on command? That'd be sweet, like Thor's hammer! Oh, I'm about to be attacked. I hold out my hand and yell, 'Santo aquí!' and it sails through the air right into my hand, and whoever's about to attack me then wets themselves. Of course, the shell won't execute the macro unless I have the staff already. That's a problem. Maybe I could sew a wand into my robe somewhere. The shell might recognize that, but then I wouldn't need my staff in the first place. Oh, hey, I need my staff!"
Martin snapped out of it just in time to overshoot his staff. He cursed, then arched his back and spread his arms like he'd seen skydivers do on TV. He swung around and made another attempt to reach his staff, which was now falling straight down like a spear due to the wind resistance caused by the bust at the staff's top. Time slowed. The wind was deafening. The light was unbearably bright. Colors seemed more vivid. The ground was getting unnervingly close. Martin's fingers were inches from the staff and closing.
"This is pretty James Bond right here," he thought.
He pictured himself grasping his staff, saying the flight spell rather than the obvious joke, and soaring back into the sky just before he hit the ground. He wished there was a way to get a video of it to show the guys later. His hand was getting closer. Closer. He was almost there. It was within his grasp. He stretched and closed his hand. Martin's fall stopped abruptly. His hand closed on thin air as the staff continued its fall. He would have cried out in anger and shock, but the wind had been knocked out of him. He could tell from the glow that surrounded him that he was being held in a force field. He groaned and rolled onto his back. The force field was coming from Gwen, who was far above him. She had her wand in one hand, generating the field that held Martin. The other hand held Ampix by the shoulder as he floated weightless beside her. The force field had stopped him more gently than the ground would have, so it hurt less. But that pain was spread out over a longer deceleration, so Martin figured it was a wash. Anyway, he had plenty of time to recover, since Gwen and Ampix were hundreds of feet above him and took their time coming down to his altitude. Martin looked below. He figured he was about 500 feet above the rim of the city. The city center was substantially further away. From this height, the city looked like a bowl full of sugar cubes with a bad ant infestation. Martin scanned the roofs that lined the inner bowl of the city. Luckily, since the roofs were white and the staff was dark, it stood out. It had come to rest on one of the smaller buildings just below the rim. If the wind had pushed it just a little further, it would have landed in the ocean beyond the city wall. It might have sunk and been lost forever. Martin turned over onto his back again and saw that Gwen and Ampix were almost to him. He yelled up at them,
"That hurt!"
Gwen yelled back,
"Would you rather I let you hit the ground?"
Ampix yelled,
"My ears hurt!"
Martin said,
"I wouldn't have hit the ground. I almost had my staff."
"No, you didn't,"
Gwen said. Ampix asked,
"Is it like they're stuffed with something?"
"Gwen, I nearly had it. It was in my hand."
"Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know that, did I? I was all the way up there tending to him."
Ampix yelled,
"What's in my ears? I can't hear so well,"
Martin said.
Okay. Thanks for trying."
"Look,"
Gwen shouted,
"if your heart was set on falling all the way to the ground, I can still make that happen."
No, you're right. Thanks for catching me. Out of gratitude, I won't point out that I was right all along."
"Yeah, thanks for not pointing that out."
"But I was,"
Martin said.
"Right, I mean, all along."
Yes, Martin, you have a gift for understanding stupidity. Can we focus, please?"
Ampix stuck a finger in his ear and shook it.
"It's like I've been swimming,"
Martin said.
"My staff is down there."
He pointed to the staff. Gwen looked down at a totally different part of the city and said,
"Uh-oh."
Martin said,
"No, it's not over there. It's right here, below me."
Gwen said,
"Martin, look."
She pointed toward the government buildings at the center of town. Two of the tiny black dots were clearly flying toward the general location of Martin's staff.
"Ida and Nilo?"
Martin asked.
"Yes,"
Gwen said.
"I saw them leave from her balcony. They probably watched us fall."
"Then they're looking for my staff. They know I'm powerless without it. Then they'll only have you to deal with. Gwen, I gotta get to my staff now!"
Gwen smiled and withdrew the spell that was holding Martin in the air. Martin shouted,
"Thank you!"
as he streaked away toward the ground.
"It won't hurt me. It won't hurt me. It won't hurt me,"
Martin thought as the rooftop and his staff got larger and larger in his vision. His memories of being tossed around the courtyard of the Castle Camelot by Jimmy flooded back, and he corrected himself.
"It will hurt me, but it won't kill me. It won't kill me. It won't!"
Martin and Philip had wondered about the exact makeup of the buildings in Atlantis. They knew that the outer bowl was made up of molecularly pure diamond, that Brit the Elder had laid down one atom at a time. But the white buildings inside the bowl had seemed more like glass. Later, Martin would find out that all of the structural, non-decorative elements of the city were indeed made of diamond, but that walls, floors, and ceilings had a thin coating of white silicon, because it was quite strong and could be made opaque. Or at least mostly opaque, without weakening its structure. Also, it was easy to clean. The incredible strength and rigidity of structures made of diamond meant that when Martin hit the roof of this smallish building, the roof did not buckle or give in any noticeable way. Martin's body, however, did both of those things. For the second time in a 5-minute span, he lay groaning, trying to get his wind back. He was in the center of a radiating pattern of spiderweb cracks in the thin glass veneer. As he lay there, he saw Ida swoop down and deposit Nilo on the roof before rising back into the sky, turning sharply and zooming in the direction from which he had come. Nilo sprinted across the roof, snatched up the staff, kicked Martin in the head, and jumped down to the street. Martin scurried to the edge of the roof, not bothering to get to his feet, and leapt down after Nilo. By the time Martin had his bearings, Nilo was already running away, down the narrow, crowded footpath between the rows of shiny white buildings. Martin gave chase. It did not take long for Martin to realize that he was not gaining on Nilo. Even with the traffic slowing him down, Nilo moved fast enough that Martin was struggling to keep up. Actually catching him did not seem realistic. Martin shouted,
"Gwen, a little help here!"
He didn't know that she was within hearing range, but he suspected she was, and was relieved when he heard her reply from overhead.
"I've got to go after Ida,"
Gwen said.
"Here's some help, though."
In his peripheral vision, he saw Gwen gently lower Ampix to the ground at running speed. As soon as the guard's feet were on the ground, she was gone, off to deal with the president of Atlantis. Far from being disappointed, Martin was delighted to have Ampix on his side.
He might not be the smartest guy, Martin thought, but I trust him, and he's just as big and strong as Nilo.
His spirits buoyed by not being in this alone, Martin found some extra speed. He might have gained slightly on Nilo. It was hard to tell at this distance. What he could tell instantly was that he was outrunning Ampix. Martin slowed slightly, looked over, and could plainly see that the big guard was already winded.
What's wrong?
Martin asked.
I don't run very often, Ampix answered.
What?
Martin couldn't believe it.
Look at you! You're a walking wall of muscle and tan! How can you be in such terrible shape?
Ampix said,
I don't know. I'm just lucky, I guess. I don't even exercise.
Clearly,
Martin said. Martin looked toward Nilo, still in the distance, gracefully weaving through the pedestrians with his staff.
I'm not going to catch him on foot,
Martin thought.
And neither is Ampix. Come on, Martin. You've seen plenty of movies. What does the chaser usually do in these situations?
He cursed quietly, then shouted,
Stop! Thief! Somebody stop that man!
Martin thought,
These battles are never quite as epic as you hope they're gonna be.
Ida flew at a fairly relaxed pace, clearly not concerned that anyone might be following her. As such, Gwen did not have to follow her for long and was soon flying next to her.
Gwen,
Ida said.
I'm surprised to see you. I figured you'd want to help Martin get his ugly stick back.
Gwen said,
Nah, I figured I'd let him and Ampix take care of it.
Ida smiled.
Nilo's gonna beat Martin like a drum. You know that, right? Oh, I don't know. Martin can take...
Gwen's mind quickly flashed back to Martin's famous battle with Jimmy. She reformulated the end of her sentence.
A beating pretty well.
The two stared at each other for a moment and slowly came to a halt. High above the park that marked the center of Atlantis. Gwen broke the silence.
What are you going to do, Ida? What are you going to do, Gwen? That depends. On what?
Gwen said.
On what you do. Because if you do anything other than go to a public place, admit what you've done, and beg for forgiveness, I'll have to try to stop you.
Ida seemed galled by the unfairness of the situation.
I haven't done anything, Gwen! You gave your servant powers. Limited powers?
Now Gwen was galled.
Limited to only things that could do people harm. And why? Because he wanted to kill Brit. No,
Ida said.
I didn't give him powers because he wanted to kill Brit. I gave him powers because I loved him and wanted him to be happy. And he wanted to kill Brit because he loves me and wants to see me happy. Has killing Brit and Philip made either of you happy?
Ida rolled her eyes.
Gwen, I never would have given him the powers if I thought he had any chance of succeeding. Logic says that he couldn't, and hasn't. He hasn't killed anybody.
Gwen shouted,
We don't know that!
Quietly, Ida replied,
We don't know that he has, do we?
Another icy silence passed. Then Gwen said,
You're not going to apologize, and you're not going to give up, are you?
Ida answered,
I don't see why I should.
They continued to hover in midair, staring each other down. Ida pondered her next logical move. Gwen also pondered Ida's next logical move. Gwen considered her best response. Ida also considered Gwen's best response. They were both as still as statues, trying desperately not to let slip any hint of what they intended to do next. An eternity seemed to pass. Then, almost in unison, they each made identical swiping motions in the air and disappeared. Martin was still keeping pace with Nilo, albeit from many yards behind.
Stop him! Thief!
Martin yelled.
Somebody call the police!
Ampix had given up on keeping up with Martin and was somewhere behind, presumably gasping for air. In the distance, beyond Nilo, Martin could see that the narrow footpath between buildings widened out into some sort of large public space, like a plaza or a market.
Oh no,
Martin thought.
I'm gonna lose him.
Nilo emerged from the tight confines of the footpath into the open space beyond, and as predicted, the crowd filled in behind him, completely blocking him from view. Martin continued to run, but his heart was no longer in it. He was certain that he would reach the opening, spend several seconds frantically searching the square, and not find Nilo or his staff. Martin emerged from the narrow path into a public square with shops and market stalls around the edges and a fountain in the center. Three sides of the square were lined with buildings. The fourth was open to the great bowl that formed the city of Atlantis. It wasn't so much a public plaza as it was a public balcony. He could tell all of this at a glance because the people who had been filling the stall were crowding out toward the edges, like a flock of birds instinctively avoiding a hawk. In the center of the square, directly in front of the fountain, where he had plenty of room to maneuver, Nilo stood, facing Martin, wielding Martin's own staff menacingly. Martin stopped running. He took a second to catch his breath, then walked casually out into the now empty space in the center of the square, until he stood close enough to count the teeth in the smug smile on Nilo's face. Martin said,
"I've got you now."
Nilo said,
"You have nothing. Look at you. You think you're so smart. You and your girlfriend, and all the sorceresses and those other ridiculous men in their stupid-looking clothes."
Martin said,
"You're wearing a shirt made out of a net."
Nilo ignored him.
"You all think you're so smart. You don't even know what smart is. I've shown you who's smart."
Martin continued.
"I mean, a shirt has three jobs. Cover you up, protect you from the sun, and keep you warm. Your shirt fails on all three counts."
"No, a shirt's main function is to make the wearer look good. I'm sure covering your torso makes you more attractive, but showing mine off works for me."
"Eh, you've got me there," Martin admitted.
"Listen to you," Nilo said, still smirking. "You still think you're smarter than me? Well, I've been one step ahead of you from the beginning."
"Well, of course you were one step ahead. You started first."
"Yes,"
Nilo said.
"That was my first great move."
"What?" Martin asked. "Trying to kill Brit before we decided to try to stop you?"
"Yes. You never saw it coming,"
Martin said.
"Well, I suppose you've got me there, too."
Nilo laughed.
"Huh. For someone who thinks he's so smart, you seem to lose a lot of arguments. You ever wonder why? It's because you think all there is to being smart is being clever and knowing things. There's more to it than that."
"No," Martin said. "I'm pretty sure being clever and knowing things is pretty much all there is to being smart."
"You're missing the most important part. Winning!"
"What?" Martin shook his head. "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard."
"Or you're the dumbest man who's ever heard it."
"Winning makes you smart?" Martin asked.
"Yes,"
Nilo replied.
"Of course it does. It's smarter to win than to lose, so whomever wins must be the smartest. Isn't that just logic?"
Martin said,
An interesting idea. We'll discuss it again after you've lost."
Nilo said,
"I'm not gonna lose. I've got the staff."
Now it was Martin's turn to laugh.
"Nilo, you know you can't use my staff, right?"
Nilo arched one eyebrow.
"Can't I?"
Nilo swung the staff with all of his strength, hitting Martin in the ribs. Martin cried out in pain and surprise. Physical blows could not injure him, but they did hurt, and all animals, wizards included, instinctively dislike and avoid pain. Martin used his arms to protect his head, neck, and face, so Nilo continued to pound on his ribs and midsection like a crazed toddler who doesn't understand the rules of t-ball. After several savage blows to the breadbasket, Martin lowered his hands and attempted to catch the head of the staff mid-swing. Nilo expected this and altered his swing to catch Martin in the ear. The crowd of Atlanteans who were still gathered around the square groaned in unison as the dull, hollow thunk Noise of the blow reverberated off of the buildings, like someone had dropped a coconut from a great height. Martin slewed sideways sickeningly, pushed off balance by the force of the blow. Nilo wound up for another swing, but Martin took off running. Nilo pursued him, still striking him with the staff whenever an opportunity presented itself. Unfortunately, by that time, all exits from the square were blocked by gawkers, and Martin had nowhere to go, so he ran in a large circle, completing a full lap of the square with Nilo close on his heels, striking him in the hips, thighs, and buttocks with his own staff. On his third lap of the square, Martin saw Ampix finally make his way to the front of the crowd. He had caught his breath and was eating an apricot he'd clearly bought from one of the fruit stands. As he ran past, Martin cried, "Ampix, help me out!" Martin and Nilo completed another lap. As they came close again, Ampix said,
"I'm not really much of a fighter."
Again, Martin ran out of conversation range, taking several more painful blows as he orbited away from and then back toward Ampix.
"But you're a guard!"
Martin shouted as he ran past again. Ampix waited for Martin to come close again and yelled,
"We never get into any real fights!"
As they ran around to the far side of the square again, Nilo bellowed,
"Maybe you don't!"
and cracked Martin in the right hip. Ampix knew he had to act. He waited for Martin and Nilo to come around again, and when they did, Ampix lost his nerve. He watched them for another orbit, psyched himself up, then, when they came close, he gave chase.
"Hey!"
Ampix yelled.
"Hey, stop that!"